Repent and Turn to God, Patriarch Elder G. Smith, Eldred G. Smith, Conference Report, October 1966, pages 77-79. Since the dawn of history, civilizations have fallen or been destroyed when the people became ripened in iniquity. It seems that when we, as mortals, follow the path of least resistance, our moral standards fall rather than rise. Wickedness in history. Genesis tells us of the conditions which preceded the flood. The book of Moses gives more detail. Noah preached to the people, calling them to repentance, but they mocked him and refused to listen. The Lord sent the flood in his anger against the wickedness of the people. Only Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives were saved, and that because of their righteousness. Time and again throughout Bible and Book of Mormon history, the wicked multitudes have been destroyed and only those who were the more righteous remained. Does this mean that God does not strive to help his people and to teach them? No. His prophets are preaching the word of God. Enoch preached to the wicked people with such success that they became righteous, so righteous, in fact, that the entire city of Zion was not, for God received it up into his own bosom. It is said that history repeats itself. If this is true, and I believe it is, then the Book of Mormon should be one of the most valuable records we have. It gives us a record of a people from their small beginning, through many generations, through growth and decay. Here, then, we should find the answer to all the national problems of peace and war. What do we find? Look at the overall story and we find a continual wave of peace with righteousness on the one hand and wars accompanied by, or the result of, unrighteousness on the other. Promise to the righteous. The Book of Mormon early in the history records a great promise referring to the people who should possess this land. The Lord made the promise that if they should serve him according to the commandments which he hath given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. Wherefore, they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For if iniquity shall abound, cursed shall be the land for their sakes, but unto the righteous it shall be blessed forever. The word forever brings this promise to us in this day also. This promise and warning is repeated often in the Book of Mormon, yet, all through history we find wars and contentions associated with sin and unrighteousness, faithfulness and deliverance from adversity. When the people were faithful in keeping his commandments, God blessed them with prosperity and peace and helped them fight their battles against their enemies. The following is typical of many such examples. The Nephites had all power over their enemies, and thus the Lamanites did attempt to destroy the Nephites until their chief captains were all slain. Yea, and more than 1,000 of the Lamanites were slain, while, on the other hand, there was not a single soul of the Nephites which was slain. The Lamanite leader was exceedingly wroth, and he did curse God, and also Moroni, and this because Moroni had kept the commandments of God in preparing for the safety of his people. And it came to pass, that on the other hand, the people of Nephi did thank the Lord their God, because of his matchless power in delivering them from the hands of their enemies. The story of the sons of Helaman is another matchless tale of the blessings of God and the rewards for keeping his commandments. These promises refer as much to us today as they did to the time in which they were given. You cannot deny that God has guided our destiny, that the settlement of this land, the declaration against tyranny, the war that followed, the framing of a constitution, all have been guided by the hand of God. How else could his gospel have been brought forth, were it not for the blessed freedom provided in this land of promise? And now here we are today, the recipients of the greatest blessings of all time. What are we doing with them? The cycle of righteousness. Where are we now in this cycle of life? This cycle of righteousness with peace and prosperity, or unrighteousness and wickedness, accompanied by wars and destruction. This is what an editorial from the San Francisco Examiner has to say. The deluge of woe. What has happened to our national morals? An educator speaks out in favor of free love. A man of God condones sexual excursions by unmarried adults. Movies sell sex as a commercial commodity. Bookstores and cigar stands peddle pornography. A high court labels yesterday's smut as today's literature. Record shops feature albums displaying nudes and near nudes. Nightclubs stage shows that would have shocked a smoker audience a generation ago. TV shows and TV commercials pour out a flood of sick, sadistic and suggestive sex situations. A campaign is launched to bring acceptance to homosexuality. Radio broadcasts present discussions for and against promiscuity. Magazines and newspapers publish pictures and articles that flagrantly violate the bounds of good taste. Birth control counsel is urged for high school girls. Look around you. These things are happening in your America. In the two decades since the end of World War II, we have seen our national standards of morality lowered again and again. We have seen a steady erosion of past principles of decency and good taste. And we have harvested a whirlwind, As our standards have lowered, our crime levels and social problems have increased. Today, we have a higher percentage of our youth in jail, in reformatories, on probation and in trouble than ever before. Study the statistics on illegitimate births, on broken marriages, on juvenile crimes, on school dropouts, on sex deviation, on dope addiction, on high school marriages, on crimes of passion. The figures are higher than ever, and going higher. How do we stand today, with this level of corruption at home? How can we expect to have peace or victory on the battlefield? Satan knows that time is short, and he's waging an all-out effort to win. He's stopping at nothing. The enemy in Vietnam is the same enemy at home. It is the same force of evil that is the cause of riots and destruction all over our country. The same force that is causing all the conditions referred to in the San Francisco Examiner is prevalent all over our land, with conditions at home as here described. Is it any wonder that we are at war in Vietnam? The answer for peace is not military might alone. We must turn to God and keep His commandments. We must seek Him in prayer, and be sincere in our prayers. We must cleanse ourselves from all iniquity. We must humble ourselves, must again make the home sacred, and we must honor virtue, repent and return to God. There is only one answer, repent and turn to God. Will you who are within the sound my voice strive with your whole souls to live the kind of life Christ would of you lead, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself? Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. President McKay has said, peace is the exemption from individual troubles, from family brawls, from national difficulties. Peace does not come to the transgressor of law. Peace comes by obedience to law. Peace to the individual, that he may be at peace with God, at peace in the home, and in the neighborhood. Peace can come to the world only through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we may all keep the commandments of the Lord, that we may have the blessings promised, that this shall be a land of liberty and never be brought down into captivity, that this land shall be blessed forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.